We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Professor Luck there?
Yes, speaking.
Murray Luck?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Lee Altenberg, and I got my PhD at Stanford in 1985. And I'm calling you because I'm doing some research on Leland Stanford and his interest in cooperatives.
Oh, yes.
And sort of my trail of research has brought me to you. I discovered the article you wrote in the Co-op News.
Yes.
And I was talking with Cyclone Covey and Otway Pardee.
Oh, yeah.
Who had mentioned that you were involved with the Walter Thompson Co-op. And let's see, what I had a number of questions. I wonder, Stanford has a oral history project. Hello? Yes, and where they're, getting, recorded interviews with the Stanford people. I wondered if I could record our conversation.
What?
Would it be all right if I recorded this conversation for the Stanford's Oral History Project?
Sure. The only thing I would have to ask is,
Be
sure to let me have a copy of the record before you do anything with it, will you?
Oh, certainly.
I've gone through this before, and on occasion was badly misled, and the report that emerged was anything but what I had said.
Yeah. Well, the way the Oral History Project works is they just take the interviews and transcribe them. At any rate, I would, be sure to send you whatever before I send anything to the archives.
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay. Yes. One of the main things I'm wondering about is how well known was Stanford's interest in cooperatives at the university.
Well, I would have imagined that everybody appointed to the staff of the university should have known, because his interest in the teaching of cooperatives appears in the sandstone above the then entrance to the main quad.
Oh, really?
I forget at the moment how it is worded. I can look it up and let you know.
Yeah, that was... So it's in the sandstone in the inner quad?
Above? No.
Oh.
Above the entrance to the main quad.
Uh-huh.
At what used to be called the psychology corner.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So right, you went up the steps, and
yeah,
right above you, the sandstone continued, and on this was the inscription.
Huh. Is it, and would that still be there?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, my, at least, for example, the in the centennial of the cornerstone, various people gave speeches on history of Stanford, and his interest in cooperatives was not mentioned at all. So the history has been forgotten.
Well, as a matter of fact, if anybody looks into the life of Stanford, and into his writings, one will find that cooperatives were one of his great concerns.
Yeah.
He, I think I quoted from him.
Uh-huh.
And what I quoted I got from the Stanford Archives. He had much to do, really, with cooperatives. It's true that he was talking more about agricultural cooperatives and consumer cooperatives.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
he said about the one was certainly applicable to the other.
Yeah. Huh. Now, do you know anything about, did you know Walter Thompson?
Walter Thompson, sure. I remember him.
And he was active in the cooperative movement?
Yes, he was very active in the Palo Alto Consumers Cooperative.
I see. Did you and he help found that?
Well, Walter wasn't in on the organization of it. But six or seven of us founded it. I have the names of them in a little booklet somewhere here. And so we did what had to be done in setting up the organization formally.
Was that in 1934?
Well, approximately. I, at the moment, do not recall precisely.
How did you learn about Stanford's interest in cooperatives?
Well, I was interested in Stanford. I was interested in him partly because of his concern with international peace. And the fact that he had won an international award for an essay he wrote on peace.
Leland Stanford.
Well, anyway, that was one thing that drew him to my attention. And then getting into the archives, I learned a lot about him.
So that you basically discovered it yourself?
Yes.
Do you know, Walter Thompson, do you know how he got, he knew about it? Or, I mean, presumably he did know about Stanford's interest.
I don't know about that. I knew him as one who was interested in consumers' cooperation. What he knew about Stanford, I'm not sure.
I see. Now,
all I know about Walter Thompson is anecdotal. It's not all I know.
So
I recall that one summer he went to one of our Western universities and gave a summer course. And in the course of this, he was talking about political science. I think that was his field. And there was some young woman who came daily. She arrived early, sat in the front row, and always seemed to be much interested. Finally, after the third or fourth day, when the class was dismissed and the others had left, she went up to him and she said, "Professor, is this really a course in conversational French?"
That's funny.
Well, you know how students can easily get in the wrong room.
Well, he must have been, Shadow was, well, anyway, that's funny. Well, let's see. So, were you involved with setting up Walter Thompson House?
I wasn't involved at all in setting up the house. No, I have written something. I have written a lot in so-called reminiscences. And in that I have a section dealing with Walter Thompson House.
Where is that?
What happened? Well, I can't even tell you that now. I don't remember these details. But it's all written up, and yes, I was in on the committee that finally accepted or held in trust the monies that the Walter Thompson House had accumulated. Because the time came and the house had to be dissolved. The question was what should be done with the assets. So this committee, which I was a member, and Paul Kirkpatrick was one, and somebody else. We finally decided the thing to do is to simply give this to the university with the expressed desire that this be used to further the aid to needy students.
Was it?
Of course, hopefully, we had in mind another cooperative house.
That's interesting because there are seven student co-op houses at Stanford. And they were started in 1970. It's the first one, and they didn't know anything about Walter Thompson House or even Leland Stanford's interest in cooperatives.
Well, you know the background of the Walter Thompson House, do you?
Well,
it was a house that had formerly been occupied by Japanese students. Japanese, and I guess Japanese Americans. But in any event, when the war broke out, it turned out that they had to abandon the house. Well, what was done with them is part of what I have written.
I see. Would you...
You referred initially to something that I wrote.
Uh-huh.
I have a copy of that around somewhere. It appeared in three successive issues.
Yeah.
Of the Co-op News.
The archives just sent me a copy of it today. That's...
Well, they did.
Yeah.
Well, I wish they'd send me a copy.
No. Oh.
I can't find mine.
Oh. Well, I could send you a copy of it.
Can you?
Yeah.
Good. I'd be very grateful if you would.
Okay. Let's see. Let me get your address.
101.
Uh huh.
San Mateo Drive.
Uh huh.
Menlo Park.
Uh huh.
94025.
Okay. Okay, so I'll send your article. Do you have copies of your other reminiscences regarding the co-op?
Well, let me tell you, I have a stack of reminiscences made up of everything I have done,
uh-huh.
thought, wanted to do, but didn't do,
uh-huh.
things I did that I shouldn't have done, starting with the day of my birth,
uh-huh.
up to the present.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is an overwhelming stack of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it's assembled in fairly orderly fashion, although it's still incomplete.
Hmm.
But in that I have a section dealing with the organization of the Palo Alto Consumers Cooperative.
Uh-huh.
And the history of the co-op from the time of its organization on. The Palo Alto Credit Union, a credit union founded in San Francisco. The housing cooperative set up by the Peninsula Cooperative Housing Cooperative
huh.
Association. This is now known as Ladera.
Oh. Is that Ladera Creek, or?
No. It's a name given to this cooperative community.
Oh. I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, yes.
What?
If you inquire around, you'll find that Ladera is westerly part of the campus. It's no longer the cooperative community that we envisaged.
Hmm.
It's fairly close to it, but...
Where is this? It's at Stanford?
Well, how can I describe its location?
You
get me when you ask questions calling for a precise answer.
Oh, well.
It's off to the west.
Huh.
And
the
upper end of it is somewhere in the vicinity of the bridge that crosses the... creek from Lake. What's the name of the lake on the campus? Lake.
Oh, Lagunita.
No, not Lake.
Oh, Salt Lake?
Salt Lake. There's a bridge there that crosses Salt Lake.
Oh.
You know that, I guess. The one end of that is quite close to the upper end of the property now known as Ladera.
Hmm.
Well, I have that all written up.
I see. Huh.
But a little, small booklet describing that is available. I have a copy I'd be glad to lend to you.
Uh-huh.
If you need it.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, that would be, yeah, if you could send that or photocopy it. Let me give you my address while I remember it.
Now, wait a moment. Let me get something on which I can write.
Okay. Whoops. Okay. It's Dr. Lee Altenberg, A-L.
Doctor, pardon?
Excuse me?
Dr. Lee?
Altenberg, that's A-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G.
A-L-T-E-N-B-U-R-G.
B-E-R-G.
Pardon?
B-E-R-G.
B-E-R-G.
And
Dr. Lee Altenberg, A-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G.
That's right. And, it's Department of Zoology in Duke University.
In where?
Duke University.
Duke?
Yes.
That's in North Carolina.
Right. In Durham, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And the zip code is 27706.
27706. 06. I used to know Philip Handler, who was professor of biochem there.
Hmm.
Later he became president of the National Sciences.
Huh. The National Science Foundation?
Science Foundation, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, were there other faculty at Stanford that were interested in cooperatives?
Yes. A couple of them. One is Jack Hilgard, Professor E.R. Hilgard, who is emeritus. And he was a very distinguished psychologist.
Hmm.
Still has that reputation. And then also Paul Kirkpatrick. He is now 95 years of age.
Wow.
And I don't think that he would care to communicate about anything.
He's not...
Well, he's alert and all that sort of thing, but 95, you know.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Well,
there are others, but the best way to get that information is, let's see how you can do it. You mean people who are in on the foundation, the founding of the co-op?
Yeah, or who took an active, you know, an active interest in the, you know, cooperative movement, or, you know, or in just in the Palo Alto co-op itself, or Leland Stanford's interest.
Well, at the moment, I'm afraid I couldn't give you that information.
Yeah.
I just don't have it.
Okay.
I know that Gertrude Williams was quite active in our co-op. Still is.
Who was that?
Gertrude Williams. I don't have her address. W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. Her husband, Harry Williams, who is now dead, was a professor in the School of Engineering.
Hmm. And what's her first name?
Gertrude.
How'd you spell that?
G-E-R-T-R-U-D-E.
Oh, Gertrude. Ah. Okay. Okay. The, how did you get connected with the Walter Thompson House? Did a student come to you, or...
Well, I was asked to serve on this committee that had to dispose of the assets of the...
Yeah. Do you remember who asked you?
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Was it a student or a administrator, or...
Who is this you're talking about?
Who asked you to serve on the committee?
Well, I knew the one who served, but I don't recognize that name.
No,
How do you spell it?
No, no, I'm asking you, which, you know, who was it that approached you about serving on the committee?
Oh, I don't remember that. You're talking about something that happened a long time ago.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, do you remember, was it a student from the house or the administrator? Did you, I mean, now...
Well, I can't tell you that. I have it somewhere, but I haven't it in my mind at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
These oral interviews are very difficult when you...
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to just put you on the spot like this. You know, I could, you know, call back some other time if you wanted to, you know, collect anything. Or,
Well, the best thing that can be done in that connection is to come around to my office.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday or a Thursday morning.
Uh-huh.
The office being at 2285.
Uh-huh.
El Camino Road.
Uh-huh. El Camino Real?
El Camino Real, yeah.
In Menlo Park?
No, Palo Alto.
Ah.
2285 El Camino Real. It's the northeast corner of Cambridge and El Camino.
Oh, I see.
You'd have to call me, though, in advance.
Yeah. Are you still serving with annual reviews?
on the board of directors, yes.
Ah. Okay. Well, since I'm out in North Carolina, I don't know when I could do that, but I might have some friends that are in the student co-ops that might be interested. How would it be if one of them called you up about an interview?
Well, I think so, provided it's not any time in October.
Oh, okay. October's too busy?
Pardon?
October is too busy?
Oh, yes. Much.
And let's see, you said Tuesday, or what was the other time?
Tuesday or Thursday morning. Or by arrangement, I guess some other morning could be decided upon.
Yeah. Okay.
I think some other morning might be better, because on Tuesday and Thursday, my secretary is there, and we have other things to do.
Okay. Well, if I find somebody interested, I could just have them call you to arrange a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I haven't been able to answer your questions adequately at all.
Well, no, this is fine. I'm just delighted to get a hold of you.
No, well, at the moment, I'm preparing remarks I'd have to make on Friday the 20th.
Oh.
There's a birthday party that's been arranged by the Departments of Chemistry and Chemical Engineering and biannual reviews.
Oh, wow.
In recognition of my 90th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And that event will be on Friday night, followed by a symposium on Saturday morning.
Oh.
So that's the thing at the moment I am giving some thought to.
Okay. All right, well, I don't want to distract you from that. Well, congratulations about
Thank you.
Getting up to that great age.
Yes, one isn't 90 years old every day.
No. Yeah.
For many years, one may feel as if he is.
Well, let's see.
You're just visiting here then, are you?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm calling from North Carolina right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I hope this call didn't collect.
Oh, no. I get out to Stanford maybe once a year. I worked on my PhD there in biological sciences from 1979 to 1986. That was when I left. I was actually a postdoc in the biochem department for a couple of years.
Oh, you were with Kornberg and...
Yeah, actually, I was with...
Kornberg and company.
Yeah. Doug Brutlog was my principal investigator.
Who?
Doug Brutlog.
Oh, yes, I know him quite well.
Oh, you do?
Sure.
Oh.
We have him over once a year when we celebrate Russian Easter.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, and I've just been... Basically, just before I left, I discovered Stanford's interest in cooperatives. I was a member of some of the student co-op houses, and so that was certainly a revelation, and I've been trying to pursue...
I didn't know about there being 6 co-op houses.
Excuse me?
You mentioned there were 6.
Yeah, actually 7 now.
You mean all of Stanford?
Yeah. Basically, most of them ex-fraternity houses.
And they're honest-to-God cooperative.
Oh, yeah. The students do all the cooking, cleaning, ordering of food. And one house, the students actually own it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and that's all been since 1970.
Well, I'll tell you, if you would be kind enough to send me a copy of what I wrote about Lillian Sanders.
Yeah.
I greatly appreciate it.
Would you be? I've written up an article myself that I've submitted to Sandstone and Tile, which
yes.
is the Stanford Historical Society.
When was that published?
My article?
Yeah.
It hasn't been yet.
Uh-huh.
But
well,
I could
I'll
send.
See it then.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that it's going to be accepted yet, but I could send you a preprint if you'd like.
Well, whatever.
Because I've turned up some other things about Stanford's interest that I think you might enjoy.
I happen to have a copy entitled The Days of the Man.
Hmm.
It's a 2-volume work.
Uh-huh.
By David Sarr Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And fascinating thing, but two thick volumes, totaling, I guess, 800 pages.
Mm.
350 copies were printed.
Hmm.
And I had number 150 or something.
Wow. You know, I looked through there and I didn't find any mention of Stanford's interest in cooperatives.
No, you probably wouldn't. Well, the days of a man are strictly about David Starr Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. But, see, it's interesting because it seemed that Stanford's vision was fairly quickly forgotten and forgone by the university community. And what I'm interested in is these few pockets of where people knew about it. And I'm trying to find out where that knowledge came from. And it sounds like, as far as you, it just through your own investigation. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, see, also, this fellow Cyclone Covey, do you remember him at all?
Well, I don't remember him, but I was always amused by his name.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually out here in North Carolina. He just retired as a history professor at Wake Forest University.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. But
he wrote an article that appeared somewhere or other.
Yes, it was in the Stanford Daily.
Oh, yeah.
In 1945, just after the house was terminated.
Yes.
And he mentioned Stanford's interest in cooperatives and it's part of being a part of the university. And so I was trying to find out where he found out about that. And he said he'd done investigation himself. And so it seems that people sort of stumbled across it independently on their own. But there was sort of no constant source of that information on campus.
Well, people on the campus. Many, of course, people on the campus were, and perhaps still are, members of the Palo Alto Consumers Co-op.
Yeah.
Many of them.
Yeah.
But apart from those people, there are many others who know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And some, indeed, in the early days, used to look upon consumers' cooperation as a form of communism.
Hmm, hmm. Well, I was wondering how, in the McCarthy era, how did people, you know, look askance at you for being involved with the co-op?
Hmm, I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. That's what I'm, because that's when the knowledge seems to have, you know, disappeared. At least I didn't find any evidence that anybody after that ever wrote anything about it. So, you know, I'm trying to, it's a kind of a puzzle to try to put together.
Well, I wrote a book in 1946 entitled The War on Poverty and Malnutrition, I think.
Who wrote that?
I did.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's a small book of about 200 pages.
Hmm.
But that describes the basis of consumers' cooperation.
Uh-huh.
Describes the young Palo Alto Co-op.
Huh.
Describes the consumers' co-op in Chicago.
Wow.
And in Cloquet, and so on. Describes credit unions, cooperative banking, you understand.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so on. That book, of course, has long been out of print.
Yeah. Do you know,
obviously, they have copies in the Library of Congress, so you can get one out of them.
Huh.
That would give you quite a bit of information that you're looking for.
Yeah. Do you know who else would have a copy?
Well, I couldn't answer that.
Yeah.
Again, we're going back a long ways.
Yeah, yeah. When did you first get interested in cooperatives?
Well, I lived in England from 22 to 25.
Ah.
And during that period, I was much interested in the local co-op store, and my wife and I, we were members of it.
Ah.
And I liked the idea of people owning, insofar as this is possible,
yeah,
the retail enterprise that served them, and even going farther back, the productive enterprises.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it was a philosophical approach.
Yeah.
But in any event, well, there's a complicated story back of that I couldn't go into now.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. So then when you came out to, did you go right straight to Stanford after that?
I beg your pardon?
Did you go straight from England to Stanford?
Well, from England, I went to Toronto for a year and then came here in 1926.
Ah. And then, how soon did you get involved with co-ops at Stanford?
Well, that's a that's a very big question.
Yeah,
I couldn't answer it in just a few words.
Yeah, but at any rate, was the co-op, the consumer co-op, sort of your biggest project in that regard?
Pardon?
Was the consumer co-op your biggest project?
Well, it's something in which I have long been interested.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I've been interested also in Annual Reviews Incorporated, which
uh-huh.
is a non-profit publishing company that I founded in 1932, I think.
Ah.
And that issues volumes each year in 26 or 27 different disciplines, mainly scientific.
Yeah.
Descriptive of the progress in the preceding year in research in that particular field in the world over.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I've certainly read many articles in the Annual Review of Ecology and Systematics.
In what?
Yeah, Annual Review of Ecology and Systematics.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's one of our publications.
Yeah. Now, that's published by University of Chicago Press?
No, no.
It's oh.
published by Annual Reviews, Inc.
Oh.
In Palo Alto.
Huh. I'm trying to think now because I've always gotten, from the American Naturalist, gotten offers to get annual reviews. Is there any connection?
Well, there are several organizations that purchase the review in quantity for their members.
For example,
the annual, American Society of Biological Chemists.
Uh-huh.
They subscribe on behalf of their members to, something like 1,000 copies of the Annual Review of Biochem.
I see.
The members having ordered it through the society, and the society sends us each year a blanket order for these number of copies, and also the addresses of the people who are to be sent.
Ah, okay. Huh. Was the Annual Review of Biochemistry the first?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do you know, were you involved with the setting up of the Stanford Biochem Department?
No.
Was that Kornberg?
Kornberg came, yes, as the head of the department, accompanied by Paul Berg and, quite a stable of colleagues.
Ah, I see. They all just transplanted themselves there. Huh. Do you know Mark Feldman at all?
Who?
Mark Feldman.
Spell it.
F-E-L-D-M-A-N at Stanford.
F-E-L. B as in Bill?
D as in Delta.
Or D? Feldman.
Feldman.
Pardon?
Feldman.
Feldman. Well, tell me more about
him. Well, he was my advisor. I just thought you might know him. He's the manager of the American Naturalist now.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I just thought you might.
Okay, I have to leave you.
Okay.
But, anyway, I take it you'll send somebody around sometime.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, I'm very delighted
to... Well, I suffer a lack of the material that is needed in order to answer your questions.
Yeah.
It's not here at all.
Well, let's see, and I guess there's in your memoirs, various places, but sort of buried in them.
I beg your pardon?
You have some notes that in your memoirs that might be useful, you're saying?
Well, you asked a question regarding the Palo Alto Consumers Co-op.
Yeah.
I have that written up. That's one section.
Yeah.
I have co-op housing.
Uh-huh.
At Stanford. That's written up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, other things that relate to questions you have asked.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll send you the copy I have of your article.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'll send along my article, which I hope you'll enjoy. If any other things come to mind, let's see. I'll give you my phone number as well. And you've got my address. It's 919-383-5327.
Let me see if I have this now. The pen almost ran dry. 919-383-5327.
Right.
Very good.
And I would certainly like to keep in touch. I may, if I can't find anybody at Stanford, I might just give you another call. Would that be all right?
Well, yes and no. I have a lot of things that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And time happens to be extremely precious.
Yeah. Well, I can... So, when would be a better... when do you think there'd be more time?
Well, I can't answer that.
Okay.
I really can't. You just happened to catch me today at home.
Ah.
And I was doing some other things that I just momentarily dropped.
Ah.
But I've got to go because
okay.
I'm still working on stuff for Thursday.
All right. I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but I very much appreciate the time you've had. So I'll get that stuff to you and hope to stay in touch.
All right, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.